Today on Locked On A's and Yankees, we are, well, from my perspective, we are catching up with the Yankees, seeing what they need this offseason. Matt Olson has been a very, very big rumor that could be heading over to New York. So we're going to try and swing a deal today on Locked On A's and Yankees.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How's it going, A's fans and Yankees fans? Welcome to episode 385 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, noted baseball fan Jason Burke, and today I am joined by the wonderful Stacy Gatsoulias of Locked On Yankees, and we're going to talk about Matt Olson, what the Yankees need, and we're going to see if we can make a deal for the A's first baseman. I don't want to send him there, so there's going to be a Yankee tax, and we're going to see if he agrees to it. Stacy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. It's the offseason's been weird so far. You know, kind of quiet, but kind of not quiet. In a way, I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah. No, that makes sense because there's a lot of stuff that could happen at any time. Like the A's, I feel like, should start trading before the lockout happens if there's going to be a lockout. And there's a lockout looming, and that could freeze transactions. So there's a lot that could happen at any moment, but nothing's happening quite yet. But it feels like it's could be. If I take a nap, I'm like, did I miss a trade? Right. I wake up sweating. It's terrible. Love this time of year.
Yeah. Especially because now it's amped up because of the lockout. It's going to happen. Yeah, the lockout's
so
happening.
Much. It yeah. feels like there's going to be a frenzy at some point, and I'm probably going to miss it. It's going to be wonderful. But before we get too far into today's episode, thank you so much for making Locked On A's and or Locked On Yankees your first listen of the day. We are both free and available on all platforms. You can also follow the show wherever you like to hear podcasts. We're both on YouTube, Locked On A's or Locked On Yankees. The show Locked On A's is on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On A's. I am at By Jason B on Twitter. You can also email us any questions that you have to lockedonathletics@gmail.com. Stacy, where can the good people find you?
You can find us at Locked On Yankees, all one word on both platforms, Twitter and Instagram. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. And I don't have an email because people don't email me. I tried that and it didn't work. So, you know, you can tweet me questions. That'll work.
If you have questions for Stacy, send them my way because I'm going to be going on paternity leave and I could use the questions. So lockedonathletics@gmail.com. Let me get some episodes in the bank. But let's talk a little bit about what the Yankees need this offseason. They were slightly better than I thought they would be, but they still didn't make they didn't go very far in the playoffs. Let's say that. So what is the offseason plan for the New York Yankees as we sit right now?
They need a shortstop.
Okay.
Which we all know. And, you know, aside from everyone in New York clamoring for Matt Olson, because there's a lot of chatter about Matt Olson and bringing him over. The talk is between Carlos Correa and Corey Seager, because they're the biggest shortstop free agents coming up. I would prefer Correa, even though he's a righty, because I know some people on the Yankees would prefer lefties because the lineup is so righty heavy. But I don't know. I think Correa could be, I don't know. I think he'd be such a great Yankee, and he's such a, I mean, he's a jackass, but in a good way, kind of, you know?
He's
and I
such
think,
a heel. Like, he would enjoy it, but at the same time, would Yankee fans cheer? They would have to, right? Because he's on their team now.
As soon as he hits the home run, come on, please. And I tell the story all the time. When Alex Rodriguez came back in 2013 after, you know, the hip surgery, and then he was going to be suspended 211 games, and it was a whole big thing. And they booed him when he first came up. In the game that I was at, because he, it was a Sunday game. He came back on a Friday. So all the people in the stadium on Sunday booed him. And then he hit a first pitch home run off Justin Verlander and they were all cheering him. And I was yelling at everyone in my section going, no, you don't get to cheer him now that he hit a home run because you were just booing him 2 seconds ago. Same thing's going to happen with Carlos Correa. Yankee fans will probably boo him just to let him know, we don't forget what you did. And then, you know, if he hits like a double in his first at bat, they'll be, Yankee fans are just very, they switch very fast. It'll be fine.
That makes sense. Yeah, that also sounds like Yankees fans that I've known over the years. Mm-hmm. My other big question for the Yankees offseason is it a foregone conclusion? Because I don't follow the Yankees as closely as I'm sure you do, because that's your team. But according to the blogosphere, it feels as though, and, you know, Ken Rosenthal and other people, it feels like Luke Voit and Gleyber Torres are both on the way out, potentially. Is it a foregone conclusion that one or the other or both will be moved this offseason?
I would think Voit might be definitely a goner. I think with Gleyber, he did better when they moved him to second base. Mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't do that till September 13th. You would think after watching him at least half the season, they would have thought, maybe we should move him to second base. But no, it took until September 13th for them to realize, hey, he's probably better off playing second base. And then he picked things up and was doing better. And it's like, wow, funny how that works. you know, Luke Voit is injury prone as well as he hits. I mean, my God, he was barely able to step on his foot in 2020 and still led the league in the shortened season with home runs. But his injury problems, you know, he's like a statue at first base. He's kind of like what Jason Giambi was at first base, except more injuries. And, you know, it's kind of funny with Luke Voit. You know, he bats from the other side, but very similar in body type to Jason Giambi. And his stance is almost like the mirror image of Giambi sometimes. And it kind of freaks me out when I watch Luke Voit. I'm like, whoa, it's a little too similar to Giambi. I mean, I wish he played like Jason Giambi. But I would think Voit, just because he's older, more injury prone. And, you know, it appears that Anthony Rizzo might want to come back to the Yankees. The Yankees might sign him to come back because Brian Cashman said during the GM meetings that he has permission, you know, like they're kind of not caring about the luxury tax. And usually the Yankees don't come out and say that sort of thing unless it's true. And the last time they did this was before they signed Gerrit Cole. So the Yankees might just go ham this offseason. So, you know, any need that they have, they might just
why not?
Yeah, I mean, who cares at this point? I mean, they're always going to be paying more money than other teams that, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you're the Yankees. Yeah. Just be the evil empire that Larry Lucchino called you 20 years ago and just buy everyone up. Who cares about the luxury tax?
Makes sense. So if Gleyber is not traded, how does that work out if they sign, let's say, Carlos Correa is at shortstop and let's say, I'm sorry, A's fans, let's say Matt Olson is playing first base for the New York Yankees. He didn't have a say in this, remember that. Where does that put DJ LeMahieu? Does that make it easier for Gleyber to be on the move? How would that look?
Yeah, see, this is difficult because DJ LeMahieu is basically signed as a utility player. He didn't even start on opening day 2019. And then he just had two crazy seasons and the Yankees were like, wow, we had no idea this was going to happen. And they, not that it was a boatload of money, but that contract was way more than he ever was going to get if he had his normal DJ LeMahieu 2019 and 2020s. You know what I mean? Like if he was the way he normally played, he just played way over. It was ridiculous how good he was.
Well, and he was going everything oppo, right? Going over the tiny little left field fence right field fence that you guys have. Yeah.
And not only that, they don't move the fences back when the opposition plays. Okay. So all of the opposing hitters who hit dinky home runs.
You can construct an entire lineup around that. And
I know when they don't.
Constructing theirs.
And they don't.
Or DJ LeMahieu can fix his entire swing to go over that fence. And then you're more suited to play at that ballpark.
Right.
Whereas the A's will go after, you know, pitchers that pitch a certain way, or, you know, Giants pitchers in Oracle before they started moving in the fences and then they became a home run team. Yeah. Same sort of thing. You construct your team for where you're playing the majority or, you know, half of your games.
Right. Which you would think the Yankees would.
You would think that they would do slightly more. And that's why Matt Olson would make a lot of sense. Yeah. And I really do not look forward to him if he does wear pinstripes. Hitting, I don't know, like 1,000 home runs, it'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, one of your my Twitter followers that I follow for a long time, who's an A's fan, he's like, yeah, he's probably gonna hit like 55 home runs at Yankee Stadium if he goes there. I'm like, yeah, I would love that. That would be
an exaggeration. That sounds like it would probably happen. He's really good, you guys.
Yeah, but it's just, oof. You know, 2019 and 2020 kind of not hamstrung the Yankees because it's their own fault that they signed DJ LeMahieu to the money that they signed him to. Again, it wasn't that expensive of a contract, but way more than he would have gotten if he was just his normal self. And is that too much money to play someone and treat him like a utility player? Like if Glaber needs a day off, or if someone at first needs a day off, or Gio Urshela needs a day off, a third, like that kind of a thing. That's the interesting thing. But I really think the Yankees are just not going to care. Just going to be like, you're going to have to deal with where we're putting you this season and, you know, grin and bear it because we're paying you this money. So just deal. I don't know.
I
We'll
know you
see.
just said they're going to go full evil empire, but I had a thought that came to mind, and I don't know if this is common knowledge. It should be because Matt Olson's amazing, but he's also a great defender over at first base. Could you see potentially them keeping Gleyber at shortstop with Olson's glove over there, helping out with some of the errors and some of those errant throws? Or is he that bad
I think he's that
and not
bad.
going after a shortstop
There's something, I
instead?
don't know, there's something about when he plays shortstop. Like, I think he got so used to playing second with Didi playing short, and then the Yankees were like, well, he came up as a shortstop, so we'll just put him back at shortstop. And I think
Yeah,
he was
like you
just,
do.
you know, I think he was really more comfortable playing second and was kind of hoping they wouldn't do that to him. And he just couldn't get back into it. And he's so much better at second base, so much better. And Correa is good at shortstop. And, you know, if you have an improved Gleyber at second, Matt Olson at first, Correa at short, that really, I mean, the Yankees infield was, I wouldn't say horrid, but they weren't great. And, you know,
No.
having even Olson as an addition, even if they don't get Correa, would be a big improvement. So,
Yeah.
you know, I know a lot of people, I'm not into a fight, but got into a discussion on Reddit. Why am I on Reddit? they were talking about,
Big
yeah,
question, Stacey.
I
Why
know.
are
They
you
were
on
talking about
Reddit?
Correa versus Seager. And I said that I would prefer Correa because he's better defensively. The Yankees need better defense up the middle. And people were like, but they need their lineup to be better. And I said, well, yeah, but their lineup wasn't better. I don't know. Guys were not hitting the way they normally hit last season. And I don't know
Yeah.
why. And I feel like there's going to be a correction there for some of these guys that they're not going to be as putrid as they were in 2021. So I feel like if the Yankees can bolster their defense, because that'll really help. And, you know, having a new third base coach, not sending guys home and having them thrown out like 26 times would also help. So, yeah, there are some things that the Yankees can do to improve.
Also, not hitting into that many double plays, which can't be like a skill. That is just random crap luck, right?
I mean, you would, it's just every time a guy was on first, you're like, oh no, they're gonna hit, oh no, they're start running. Like, you know, like,
If it
why aren't you
helps,
running?
Whenever the A's had a runner on third and less than 2 outs, I was like, that run's not coming home. So same sort of thing, but it was more tantalizing.
Well, you mentioned DJ LeMahieu. When he was really good in 2019, anytime a runner was on second or third, he guaranteed to get them home. It was unbelievable. It was like every time he was up, no matter what he did, he would flick the ball one way. That's why they were calling him the machine, because it was just like he was just really wow. And this season, though, he did have a, I think he had a sports hernia. Did he have surgery on a sports hernia, or was that Luke Voit? Now I'm
Sure.
confusing all the injuries, but you know, we'll
So
see
many.
if he's 100% healthy in 2022, and if 2022 starts on time, how DJ LeMahieu does. I know.
Sounds good. All right. Well, we got a little bit more to get into, including whether or not Jason Dominguez, one of the Yankees' top prospects, is available. I'm asking Stacy that question in just a minute. So stay locked in. We're Locked On A's and Yankees. We'll be right back. Do-do-do. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That is DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Well, that was fun. And this is usually, I like to have fun for like 30 seconds on YouTube. Stace, do you have anything that you want the listeners of this show to mention in the comments? Do you have a question? Like, hey, put together your own trade package. That's, if you have a trade package for, from an A standpoint, what are you looking for from the Yankees? We're going to get into my trade package here in a couple segments, but yeah, let me know what you're thinking down below in the comments. And Stacey, do you have anything that you would like people to comment down below as well?
For A's fans, what was your least favorite Yankees A's playoff series?
Well, that's been Locked On A's and Yankees. What a great crossover this was.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, I'm just so kidding. I'm going to go ahead and answer mine real quick. Giambi, the slide. That the Jeter flip play is the one. I think that's the answer. I hated that. It sucked. He was safe.
Oh, you were at that game?
I was at that game.
Oh, no.
he's been safe every time that I've watched that. And this is a story that I've told on the podcast.
I think he was
before,
called out because he was stupid and didn't slide. And the ump was like, dude, you should have slid. What are you doing?
But there was that commercial a couple of years ago that Nike did. They're like, oh, look at all these reversed history plays. I'm like, look, he's still safe. They didn't change the video whatsoever. That's wild. Thanks, Nike. Yeah, jerks. I still buy Nike products. I hate them. All right. Anyways, let's get back into it. Welcome back to the Locked On A's and Yankees podcast. This has been a lot of fun so far. And also, thank you guys so much for making Locked On A's and Yankees and or, I guess, your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. One more time, I am at ByJasonB on Twitter. The show is at Locked On A's, wherever you like to hear podcasts. And if you like to read what podcast hosts have to say from Twitter accounts, that is at Locked On A's or at Locked On A's on Instagram. Stacey, where can the people find you?
Locked On Yankees on Twitter, Locked On Yankees on Instagram, all one word, no underscores or anything like that. You can find me at Stace Gotts on Twitter. And, you know, I mean, if you want to be daring, you can follow me on Instagram at SR Gotts. I just post a lot of cat pictures, though.
Yeah, see, we're official like that. We don't have any underscores like LO underscore Padres. Take that, Javi. Boom!
Poor Javi.
He's the butt of like literally everybody's jokes, but it's because we love him so much.
We do.
And he's been on everybody's show. Yeah. He's so wonderful. all right. Do you have any questions for me? Before the break, I teased that I was going to ask you about Jason Dominguez. I'm going to ask you about Jason Dominguez. Hey, Stacey, is Jason Dominguez, the Yankees number two prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, available this winter in a potential trade for Matt Olson?
No.
Well, that was fun. No. Thanks for staying through the break for that.
No, he is not. No. I don't think they would do that.
So
but there are a few guys
there's a few guys. And we'll talk about them here in a minute. But I do have a little bit of a spiel about Jason Dominguez and just the A's in general this winter. This offseason. And that is, one, Jason Dominguez is 18 years old. And the A's are not great at developing hitters. And so while this is... You could look at this as one of two things. The A's have a chance to go get somebody who could be the jewel of their farm system, somebody to build around, their own Mike Trout. That could be what they do. But we've seen them do this in trades before where Franklin Barreto was supposed to be that guy. Do you still want Franklin Barreto? Derek Martin was supposed to be that guy in the Mark Mulder deal. He wasn't great. People did not like him after he spent, you know, all that time in Oakland. So you can go get that crown jewel of a prospect, or you can get somebody who's slightly older, and I'll go over the trade package in the next segment, and has a little bit more track record, and where you can project a little bit closer to what they'll probably actually be, as opposed to somebody who you have to develop a little bit more. And the A's have not been great at developing hitters. So I would go for their number three prospect. If you already know who that is, then spoiler alert, he's in my trade package. But that is my quick spiel on why I don't necessarily need Jason Dominguez in this trade package. Would it be great to get that crown jewel? Yes. Does he have the name recognition? Yes. Would trade evaluators probably evaluate the trades differently if Jason Dominguez is in this deal? Probably, yeah, because he's Jason friggin' Dominguez, and he has been highly touted for a while, but he's still not even the number one prospect in the Yankee system. And I think that the A's probably go a little bit as a depth acquisition for somebody like Maddelson, where they're going to go out and get maybe four or five different guys that are all pretty solid that they can build an entire team around, as opposed to one guy who, like Mike Trout, can't make the playoffs on his own. So that is my Jason Dominguez spiel. Sorry to Mike Trout and his family, because they've been eviscerated. Stacey, what do you got for me?
Well, I mean, it happened a little bit ago, but what was your, were you as shocked as everyone else with the Bob Melvin news? Because I was...
No, not, I did sort of not predict it, but I said, hey, if there's one team that scares me that's looking for a manager, it is the San Diego Padres, because they are not across the country. They are in California. It is close enough to Bob Melvin and where he lives that, and they're also a young, exciting team that has a great ballpark. Who wouldn't want to manage the San Diego friggin' Padres? I want to manage them. I would leave, you know, my Bay Area complex right now if I could go manage the San Diego Padres. It just seems like a great job. So that's the team that definitely scared me, and they're the team that ended up with them. The Mets, every offseason, the Mets get all these rumors, and I'm like, but they're still the Mets, you got. Like, I like the Mets, don't get me wrong, but Steve Cohen seems like a nightmare. If you're like
in a totally different way than the Wilpons, yes, he's still a nightmare. Things have not changed.
And a different kind of nightmare than the A's owner John Fisher, where John Fisher won't spend money, but you know, Steve Cohen will spend money, but oh boy, is he gonna be, you know, talking crap about you on Twitter if you make a bad managerial decision. Is that a better situation? No, it doesn't seem like it. So I don't understand why they get so many rumors. It's wild. It's and also, so I kept pointing out to my listeners in February of this year, there was all these rumors that Matt Chapman was going to the Mets. It was like a done deal. And that didn't happen. I don't trust the New York media. They just make up rumors and they're like, ah, well, all those guys that we talked about, they're all out. So whatever.
Yeah, because it feels like people get bored really easily. You know, we're not that far away from the World Series ending. And some of the scenarios that these guys come up with, you're just like, no wonder why we have this horrible reputation, because you come up with these ridiculous trade proposals. Like, why on earth would you think, or even not even just trade stuff? You know, when they were talking about, you know, the Mets still need a GM, and, you know, Sandy Alderson is like, oh, well, you know, some people, you know, don't want to be in New York, or they're too afraid to be in New York. It's like, no, they don't want to work for the Mets. They've seen what a dumpster fire the Mets have been the last few years. And like you said, with Steve Cohen being the owner and tweeting his every thought and just being, this is like a different kind of nightmare for Mets fans now. And it's just, it's not the, they can't handle New York thing. It's they can't handle the New York Mets thing, because again, they're a dumpster fire of an organization right now. And who would want to do it? I know. All right. I shouldn't say that, because you might have a GM or someone who was a GM or someone who wants to be a GM, who wants to be the guy that makes it so the Mets win for the first time since 86, you know, like when the Cubs brought in Theo Epstein, because he fixes everything. But, you know, his name was thrown around for the Mets and he was kind of like, no, no, I have this cushy MLB job. No.
Yeah, and why would he do? He's broken two curses.
Right.
He's gonna need like a real good incentive to come out of that retirement from his cushy MLB job. And they were floating his name for the Mets. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. David Stearns, you think that the Brewers want to let him go? No, they're just gonna say no. You can't talk to him. And Billy Bean, same sort of thing. I feel like sure he could go work with his former mentor with the Oakland A's, but he could also. I think that it would mean more to both of them if they won doing it their way with the Oakland A's.
Right.
And he almost left to go do other things, not baseball related whatsoever, this past off season. He doesn't want to have more baseball responsibilities. That never made sense to me. So New York media, do better.
I am not part of the New York media, by the way.
I know. Yes. No, you're nice. You're fantastic.
I try, you know, as much as I love the Yankees, you know, I mean, I grew up a Yankee fan. I've been watching them for 40 years. Like, consciously have been watching them for 40 years. I've been watching them for more, but I don't remember from when I was like two or three. But I know when to criticize them. I know when to call people out when they're doing bad things. I don't operate with pinstripe glasses on. And it drives me crazy when people do, because you can't cover a team when you do that sort of thing. And you need to be able to come out and say, you know, I don't agree with this, or they need to do this better, and not be like, oh, like when, you know, every time Aaron Boone came out after a bad loss, he'd be like, well, they did this well. No, they were horrible. Say they were horrible. Say it. So, you know.
I love it. All right. Is it time for us to get into the trade offer that I have set up for you?
Almost. Yeah. Okay.
It is almost time. All right. So before long, coming up in just a minute, I'm going to be offering Matt Olson's services to the Yankees for two seasons. So stay locked in with Locked On A's and Yankees. We'll be right back.
I have an offer for you. Ooh. Built Bars. It's the perfect time for Built Bars, people, because Built Bar is the new holiday dessert, because Thanksgiving is coming up and you can feast on something delicious but feel good about it, because one slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories with 4 grams of sugar and plenty of protein. You can replace the coconut cream pie with a coconut Built Bar. And honestly, coconut Built Bars are really good if you like coconut. Or go for a raspberry Built Bar. I know Sully loves those instead of raspberry pie. There are lots of good flavors to replace any pie. They're low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. And if Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. You have new surprises all month. Limited time flavors arrive at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. And there's nothing like a Black Friday for Built Bar, so mark your calendar, because that will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises, usually really good new flavors. So go to Built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, our promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
I love it. yeah, so if you are still contemplating, or you've been looking at MLB pipeline and looking at the Yankees prospects in the time that we were just talking, last chance to get your trade offers in for Matt Olson. And also, Yankees fans, let us know what you would offer for the services of Matt Olson. I guess that's what we're doing this time. All right, but let's get back into this, because I've got a doozy, and I don't actually know if you're going to accept this or not. So you know the players. I don't know your response, so this is going to be a lot of fun. Welcome back to Locked On A's and Yankees podcast. We're doing a special crossover where we are about to I'm going to offer up Matt Olson to Stacey Gatsoulias of Locked On Yankees, and I'm going to give her
a... just kidding.
Oh, don't we all wish?
He's good looking. I'm human, okay? And I can appreciate a good looking face. He has a good looking face.
Okay, before we get into this, I asked the former host of Locked On Cubs this. And Chris Bryant or Matt Olson, who has a better face, I guess? Because they both have very nice eyes. Because I don't know. I'm biased.
I think he has the better face. Yeah, the jawline and every. I'm going to say Matt Olson. I mean, they both have great eyes, though. I always joke and say I have poop brown eyes, because I can't stand my eyes, but I always love like blue or green. And yeah, anytime anyone has eyes like that, I'm just like, ooh. But yeah, Matt Olson has the better face.
Yeah, no, he's a good looking guy. Uh-huh. All right. So here is the trade package that I have been holding over you for roughly 29 minutes now. I have everybody written down. I am missing one of their first names, but starting off, the jewel of this package. And if you already knew who the number three prospect in the Yankee system was, according to MLB Pipeline, congrats. You got one. It is Oswaldo Peraza. He is a 21-year-old with a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, solid defender. I like him as the centerpiece of this deal, but he's not the only guy that I am going to be including here. So first take. Oswaldo Peraza, is he available? Can I have him, please?
Ooh. Possibly.
You get to keep Jason Dominguez.
Possibly. I feel like, yeah, I feel like the Yankees might do that. Like, I feel like that wouldn't be one of those moves where they'd, I feel like he could be expendable, especially for someone like Matt Olson.
You know? Matt Olson hit like what, 400, had like 500 home runs last year. So, I mean, yeah, you're getting some production. All right. It gets better for us A's fans as long as she says yes at the end of this. This is number 6 Yankee prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. And that is Austin Wells. He is a catcher, because I don't know if we're going to hold on to Sean Murphy because his value is also really high. So you just replace him with Austin Wells, who is a 22-year-old, but he is an offensive catcher. And the reason I'm including an offensive first catcher is because we don't know if robo-umps are coming. And if they are, then framing doesn't necessarily matter. Sure, you need to be able to block balls, but you can kind of learn how to do that on the fly, I think. So that is why I targeted Austin Wells, a guy with a solid bat. They just have some solid bats that are, you know, potential catchers in their farm system already, but why not add another one? And also, if you trade Sean Murphy this offseason, there are no catchers available on the free agent market. There's Yan Gomes and then end of free agent market list. So trade market might be the way to go. You can get a haul right now for Sean Murphy, who is also a gold glover. Is that okay? Are we doing okay right now? We got Peraza, we got Wells, and I'm starting from the top. So yeah,
I think so. Fun fact about Austin Wells. He was born on the day I started at NBC, July 12th, 1999. So his date of birth will always be stuck in my head.
I like it. All right. Moving on. We have the number 8 prospect. I'm just going all top 10 right here. Top tier. Yeah. Luis Medina. Mm-hmm. Who, do I know a lot about him? No, but I'm intrigued. He is a 22-year-old. And he has a 75 fastball on the 20 to 80 grading scale, which the A's need to add some high voltage arms. Luis Medina is one of those guys that could be available in a trade that I think would be a nice addition. Is he going to be a starter? Probably. They don't need him to be a starter. Have him be a late inning reliever. I don't care. Luis Medina. Medina. Okay. I was like, Medina. Yes. He also has, he throws 96 to 99 with natural cut, which I like natural cuts. Why not? So that's my third guy. Fourth guy on this list. We got Esteban Florial, who is the number 21 prospect right now. And he's an outfielder. He was somebody who was kind of talked about a little bit during the Sonny Gray trade deals. Oh, and yeah. The A's didn't get him. They got James Caprillion instead. He's been working out okay. I liked him. He had a good, you know, rookie season for the A's in 2021. But Florial is a post-hype guy, which I think could be, that's kind of their wheelhouse. Is he super highly ranked? No. Has he had some troubles? Yes. But I think that he still has the potential to be a solid guy for the A's, and that's why I'm targeting Florial in this trade. And then, not finally, but the last of the guys that you know about, I don't have his first name, but he is the number 22 ranked prospect in the Yankee system, and that is pitcher Way. Do you remember
Beckway.
His first name?
Beckway.
Beckway. Yeah. There we go. he is 22 years old. He throws 91 to 95, touches 97, though, and he has a little bit of ride, and they also think that he might be able to add some velocity as he fills out into a 6'4 frame. I like that. I like velocity, and it feels like he'd be another solid addition. What do you think of the trade package so far? Would you say yes to this deal? I have no idea. I've been waiting all day to hear your answer.
I feel like you're asking for a lot.
I am. Yeah. And there's more coming. You don't know that yet.
I feel like some of the guys are okay in there, but I feel like there's too many top 10 guys in there. I mean, Matt Olson is good, but it's not like he's Mike Trout. No offense. I mean, is anyone Mike Trout aside from Trout?
He's only going to, I mean, he's projected to make $12 million next year. So he's not going to cost $30 right. million. Dollars, and that's part, and you get him for 2 years, which is right. part of what.
And you know, Hal would love that.
And I would like to say, I know this seems like a lot for Yankees fans, but take it or leave it with however much you trust this website. But the Baseball Trade Values website, this is even value right here.
Right.
So I didn't just pull a bunch of names. I'm like, I want all these guys. I'm like, right. this is actual right. even value right here. So
yes.
according to the website, whether yeah. or not you, yes.
Yankee fans, don't worry. So, we, you know, yes, it is pretty, it's, I mean, maybe like this, but I mean, it's pretty much even. It's yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah. that brings me to the Yankee tax. which is it's not somebody that's going to be crazy and you're probably going to want to get rid of him. But how about including Luke Voit in that package as well to give the A's just somebody to play first base for a couple of
years? I was actually going to suggest that either that or maybe Gary Sanchez is a backup catcher or something, because I feel like Gary needs, I don't know. I see, I love Gary Sanchez, and I feel like every time I think he's going to turn the corner, he doesn't, and it drives me crazy because when you see the flashes of him doing really well, you're like, wow, this guy is really good. And then it's like he forgets what he's doing and he goes back to striking out on three pitches and looking horrible. And it's like, what is going on? But yeah, the Luke Voit thing could actually, that I wouldn't mind that.
I mean, I still want the other guys too, but my thought process is, it takes the injury question out of the Yankees equation, and we don't know what's going to happen with the new CBA. If there's going to be a payroll threshold, so right. If the A's need to meet a payroll threshold, it might be nice to have somebody who's going to make a little bit of money in arbitration, not a ton. And also, it doesn't matter if he's going to be hurt for the A's. If he's not hurt, then they could, you know, he can recoup a bunch of value in a later trade, which is great for the A's.
Right.
And also, you get to pay him a little bit and hopefully hit that salary floor. And it gives the A's fans somebody to, you know, probably be excited about, because they're probably going to be trading a lot of guys. So
yeah,
that was my thought process behind that deal. And also it gives them a lot of guys that are kind of close, but not quite there.
Right.
And, you know, that's where I'm coming from. And it would give the A's a little bit of extra surplus value. I think it would be like 48 to 45, something like that, on the baseball trade values website. So it's not a ton, but it's even without Luke Voit trading another. I mean, the A's didn't trade Jason Giambi, but seeing another A's cherished first baseman going into the pinstripes, they get a Yankee tax, and that is Luke Voit in this deal.
I did not want Giambi. I really didn't. I was at game 5 of the 0-1 series, and they could not get him out. And I was just like, what the F? And my dad's like, he's putting on a show for Steinbrenner because he wants to be a Yankee. And I'm like, ew, no. And then the first couple of months I was like, eh. And then, and it wasn't even the walk off in the rain, you know, the walk off grand slam against the Twins. Like, you know, I already was kind of digging Giambi. I was like, okay, I can deal with this. I will tell you what made me love Giambi. 2002 was the first year of the Yes Network. Mm-hmm. And they had this mini studio set up outside the clubhouse, and Susan Waldman would interview guys, and they would come in like right after they showered or whatever. So Jason Giambi comes into this interview room with a cutoff shirt, shorts, Adidas slides. He walks in, he's dripping wet, and he's like, hey, honey. You know, and I'm like, oh, did he really just call her honey? And then they were doing the interview, and he was like the nicest guy. And I was just like, oh, I like him. Okay. All right, I'm not going to be so hard on Jason Giambi. And he was great that season. And then, you know, things started falling apart for him. But I ended up really liking Jason Giambi. And it was just, like I said, that game, I was like, oh. And then how many months later, I was like, oh, I love him. So, yeah. But he was at Old Timers Day for his first time in 2019. I think it was 2019. I don't know. The pandemic has totally thrown off everything. And I can't remember if things are 2019 or 2018, but I think it was 2019. Okay. And, you know, aside from the fact that he was at Old Timers Day, you know, because when I first started going to Old Timers Day in the 90s, it was like players from the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing guys from the 90s and the 2000s. And it's like, no, no, this is not right. No, because all those other guys that I just mentioned, they're all gone now. And it's like,
yes,
now it's just 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and even 2010s. I think someone came from the 2010s. So yeah, it's just... but he was all, they interviewed him. He was so happy. He's like, oh, I'm so excited to be here. And, you know, he looked pretty good, you know, because yeah. He hadn't played in a few years and he still, you know, he fit into the uniform. I was like, oh, I was impressed. And they had him play first base. And yeah, it was good to see him.
Oh, that's fun. And you don't really necessarily want anybody from the Yankees in the 70s or 80s because, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, 90s.
You know, I mean, well, 80s guys, I miss seeing Don Mattingly. You know, obviously I can't because he's with the Marlins and he won't do it anymore. But
is he was Jeter my favorite. Coming?
No, no, oh,
I didn't know. Okay, that's interesting.
No, nope. I don't think we're going to see Jeter there for a while. If ever.
Is he going to change his plaque in the Hall of Fame to be a Miami Marlins hat? Because that would be hilarious.
No, no, he would not do that. I am interested in if A-Rod would show up, because, you know, we're getting to the point now where, let's see, he last played in 2016, right? So, yeah, we're getting at that point now where he could show up for Old Timers Day. Tex could show up for Old Timers Day. Oh, no. This is just really...
I love it.
Getting old is the worst. Ugh, awful.
It sucks. My back is falling apart.
You know, you're talking about kids who were 21 and 22 that you want to trade for. And I'm like, oh, my God, I was working in an actual full-time job when these kids were born. This is just too much for me.
Okay, so you would do that trade. I force your hand. What a great maneuver by Jason Bean over here. I think that it's a lot, but I think not necessarily for the A's to trade Matt Olson, but he's going to get more than I think people are aware of, because they don't get to watch him play all the time. And he's really solid, and his value is even higher now after 2021 than it had been in the past, because he didn't strike out. He cut his strikeout rate in half. So he's really good. I'm gonna miss that guy. Oh, well, hopefully. I mean, if the A's get that package, I'll be happy. And as happy as I can be.
I will say,
I'm going to miss watching him.
When the A's were playing the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, my mom had walked in and Matt Olson was up. And she looked at the TV. She's like, who is that? I said, oh, that's Matt Olson. She's like, oh, yeah, he's, yeah. She just sat down. She's like, wow, he's good looking. I'm like, yeah, he is. It's nice to look at good-looking guys when you're watching baseball.
In this segment, we have traded Matt Olson and gone over how attractive he is multiple times.
I mean, you know, if we were talking about Tyler Glass now, I'd be doing the same thing.
True, true. Also, do you guys want Tony Kemp just so that he can't, hit home runs against
He's
you?
He's so annoying.
Or do you
want to,
like, trade for him and then just, like, DFA him just out of spite because of a couple of losses?
Oh my God, that jerk.
That'd be rude, but because he is such a nice guy.
Yeah,
he's
no, he
so
seems
friendly.
Like a nice guy. And, you know, if he wasn't doing it against my team, just to see how happy he is when he does that sort of thing, like, it's like, oh my God, I did this. Like, woo. Because what is he, 5'4?
I don't know that he's that small in stature, but yes, he is
he's pretty short, diminutive.
He's usually the shortest guy on the field. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's almost like, I saw him at the plate, you know, when I was looking at him at the plate, and I'm like, when the ump stood up, I was like, oh, he is really short. Like, wow. You know, kind of Altuve
but he is
short.
Such a joy to, there was a stretch in time for like a month and a half where he made just a fantastic defensive play every single game. Maybe not every single, it felt like something wild, like in the first inning every day. And I was like, wow, he already had his highlight. Good for him. So, he's a ton of fun to watch. I really fell in love with Tony Kemp this season, especially because of his heroics against the Yankees. That was
Now, how many people fun. Do you think they're going to trade this offseason?
It could be all of them. It could be that. That's really the question. It's how deep are they going to go? Because I could see them trading. Well, I was talking to Paul Holden of Locked On Rockies. The A's have 13 free agents. And so they could just trade everybody, and then we're like, I don't know, we got like Ramon Laureano still on the team, maybe his trade value is also really high. My guess would be that they would trade Bassett and Montas at the very least, because those guys are both very, very good. Chris Bassett is a bulldog, and he was the A's ace just because he would go out there and give you six innings, and you know, he'd give you a quality start basically anytime that he got the ball. And would it always look the best? No, but he avoids barrels. And is he a huge strikeout guy? No. Does he have a bunch of pitches that keeps you off the barrel? Yes. He's a pitcher. Frankie Montas has great stuff, and he also has 2 years of control. So I could see him maybe going to the Red Sox or the Giants would make a lot of sense.
I don't want anyone helping the Red Sox, so please trade him to the Giants. Thank you.
Cheap plug for tomorrow. I'm going to be talking with Lauren Campbell of Locked On Red Sox and trading her some pitching. So that is not a lie. I will legitimately be doing that.
I haven't even done a crossover with Lauren yet. I got to do that.
This will be my second one. so that'll be a lot of fun. And I could see, you know, obviously Matt Olson on the block. I also traded Matt Chapman over to the Mets. So that's something. Yeah, I could see them really cutting deep or only doing a couple guys, which wouldn't make a lot of sense. Because if you're going to trade a couple, you're not going to be competing anyway. So why not just rip it down to the studs at that point? So that's kind of my thought process is I'm like, it could be five or six guys, in which case they're returning like seven players from last season, including Seth Brown, who I'm very high on right now. So go Seth Brown, go. But yeah, that is, you have any other questions for me?
Well, just one quick one. What is it? Cause I don't know what it's like to root for a team that does this sort of thing, you know? No, but I mean, honestly, because the Yankees haven't really done anything like this.
They had like that little quick tear down and was it 16? Yeah, with, and that Chapman, wasn't even... But it was like a second half sort of thing. It wasn't really like, we'll get it back. Don't worry.
Yeah, it wasn't anything close to, you know, they had their 28th straight winning season. And, you know, things haven't been really where they had to like get rid of guys in a really long time. And so what is it like for you to cover a team and be a fan of a team that does this every once in a while?
I think that I'm in the minority. I think that a lot of A's fans are tired of it. They're like, I mean, that's why, you know, there are no A's fans, quote unquote.
They're out fans. There. I know a bunch of you.
Yeah. There are plenty of us out there. It's ownership doesn't spend money and we're frustrated. And sometimes going to the game for prices to go to baseball, to go to A's games is like outrageous now, considering that they want to build a new ballpark because this one's not feasible, but still going to like go get bleacher seats for like a Giants game is like $40. And you're like, that's a lot for this place. Cause I was getting seats, same seats, $10, like 5-6 years ago. So, you know, yeah, it's increased. So you're like, all right, well, you got to pick and choose which games you want to go to. And usually they're against the crappier teams. So that's why there's nobody at the games and, you get used to it. I think, I've been doing the whole, you know, trade everybody and then be good maybe, for 20 years. So that's been fun. And, you can kind of see it coming at this point, like coming up, beginning of last year, I started saying, I'm like, they're probably going to trade everybody, before too long, probably next winter. And, it really looks like that's gonna happen, and it stinks when you're right, but you know, then you get excited about all the new players and then you kind of shift focus to the minor leagues a little bit. Obviously I'm still gonna watch A's games because even when they're not a good team, they're still fun to watch is what I've gathered in, you know, their last two rebuilds. But I don't know that this is going to be one of those types of rebuilds because usually they was like, oh hey, we brought up this prospect and like, oh, this is going to be fun, like we'll get to watch Nick Allen. And he's really, really good at shortstop and he'll be fun to watch defensively. But are they going to be in games as much as they have been the last couple of rebuilds? Not if they trade everybody. Because, so we'll see what happens with this one. But I'm learning more about prospects and I enjoy that aspect. And that keeps me engaged. So that's it.
Yeah, because I
and then they might move, so we'll see.
I don't learn about prospects. I mean, I know enough about them because I'll see tweets from people and I follow people who cover the minors and stuff.
Yeah,
but I've been burned by so many Yankees prospects in the last 30 years that I kind of get afraid to get too attached to people because it always doesn't work out right. So not always, but the majority of the time. So I know enough. But I don't get, I'm not one of those prospect huggers. You know, there are a lot of people, if they hear your trade, they'll be like, no, you know, there's going to be people watching this who are like,
Don't trade those guys. Yes. Yeah. No, it makes sense. All right. Well, that is all that we got for you today. And thank you so much one last time for making Locked On A's and or Locked On Yankees your first listen of the day. Now, we already mentioned him, but go make Locked On MLB hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. He likes raspberry Built Bars. Go make that one your second lesson of the day. He is free and available on all platforms. We both also like to appear on Locked On MLB all the time. So if you like this, you'll like that. It's like what they used to do at bookstores. You're like, you like this book? You like Game of Thrones? You might like this one, but that's not nearly as good. That's a bad reference for Sully. Not what I meant whatsoever. I was talking about Borders, which is now out of business. That's probably why.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry, Sully. Not what I meant by any means. All right. But that is all that we got for you guys today. So until next time, go out and celebrate good times, A's fans, and I will talk at you tomorrow.